We're officially on the road to the fire. Well, we've been on that for a bit now, but here we are, 4 days away from the first pay-per-view of the NWA since starting up their weekly show, and it's definitely going to be an interesting time. I'm Johnny Florida, and welcome to a special NWA Power Review. It's actually not even the NWA Power Review. It's going to be the NWA Into the Fire Prediction Show. So, and join along with me, as always, is the Papa Bear himself, Papa Dave Sincere.
Good evening.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm lovely.
So, we had originally planned everybody to do this a couple hours earlier, go live, kind of like a normal shtick. And
I forgot. Damn, what? I forgot all about that.
Well, I don't know if Dave's just trying to save face for me or not, but the truth is, everybody, I was still sleeping. I've had a bad couple of days with my sleep schedule, and I tried to wake up. I'm amazed I stayed asleep with my alarms and everything. So, give me all the shame and ridicule I deserve for that. So, and again, I'm sorry for that, Dave.
I'm going to say this. At some point during the day, there better have been a booty call involved here that wore you the fuck out and just made you oversleep. Tell me that there was a booty call involved that just wore you out.
I wish I could say that. So here's the quick thing for it. Yesterday, I got off work. I was so close to being stuck on an extra 4 hours of overtime, and I was thankful I was not. I got home, I went to sleep, and I woke up less than 2 hours later, and I couldn't get back to sleep. I had some events I was going to in the evening, so I tried and tried to go back to sleep. I couldn't, so finally I just said, fuck it, let's go to the event early. Maybe I could try to get an hour or two of sleep there on location. Couldn't even do that. I got home afterwards, about like 9:30 at night, and I end up passing out for 4 hours. Then I wake up, and I'm up throughout the night like normal, because everybody knows I work nights and everything. So I'm up all night, and then coming to the morning, and because my schedule is thrown off, you know, I'm up a couple hours later. But then again, I just slept earlier, so I figured, okay, I'd be better off. I wait until the time come, because today was my parents' anniversary, so I wait until the time, like, okay, I could still get some sleep and be completely fine. I should be, just because it's a regular schedule, I should be good. I call my parents up. Each of them give, you know, happy anniversary, because my dad has a weird schedule because he's a trucker. And right after I'm done on the phone with my dad, I lay down to go to sleep. And I set 5 alarms to wake up and everything up to a half hour before we should have been live. And some the fuck how, I slept through all of them. I don't even remember waking up to shut off the phone. The phone was still next to me, so I know I didn't throw it at a wall when I woke up finally.
Okay, no problem. I mean, I understand. Like I said, dude, I understand 100%. No, it's cool. It is. It's cool. It's cool. I'm cool. We're all cool. And we're going to have a great show.
I hope so.
I believe we are.
Well, again, if anybody plans on giving me any shame for this, you know, hey, I deserve it. I was late, clearly.
I may base the whole Super Party on it Thursday. I don't know.
And that's great because, you know, I'm not going to be able to be on. So,
see how that works?
Yeah, I'm not going to have any chance to defend myself.
Oh, well, we'll send you a special copy of it.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be calling you the next day like Mike did from last episode. Basically be like, dude, what the fuck? Okay, I knew I deserved shame, but I didn't need to be fucking sent to Auschwitz. A podcast.
We are talking about Mike after all.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't send you to the Auschwitz of podcasting, but Mike, maybe.
At the very least, he's going to Birkenau or Dachau.
Maybe the Dachau podcasting.
Well, this is definitely going to be interesting of a night. So everybody, there was no NWA Power today. So there's, you know, at first it was going to be like, okay, we're going to be taking the night off of a sudden, and then Dave came up with the idea of us doing the prediction show today, which was a great idea. So, taking a look into this, this is actually kind of throwing me off a little bit in a good way. We're used to, thanks to people watching WWE pay-per-views, we're used to pay-per-views having, and TNA does this, and Ring of Honor does this, WCW did this, a lot more matches. You know, a pay-per-view you'd expect no less than 8 matches. 9 if you're counting the a pre-show match, you know, like when there was Sunday Night Heat and stuff, and we know WWE does their, they basically go live for the pay-per-view for pre-show 3 hours early, you know, so you can get used to like 11 matches now, and then WrestleMania is like now up to 18 or some crap. But this is a bit of a throwback, because it throws you off the game, but it just takes you back to this is how it used to be, is Into the Fire has only got 6 matches. They've even said it's the complete card. There's only 6 matches tonight, and that's actually not crazy. You know, I know Jim Cornette, he's talked about it going back in the day. You go to a weekly wrestling event, and there was probably 4 matches on a card in a lot of the territories. And if they had a special event, it was 6. I'm trying to remember who it was. Dave, you'd probably remember. Maybe it was Jerry Jarrett, I think he said, or Nick Gulas, or maybe in the Memphis territory, that he said they would have like a Night of Champions event where they'd have all these different championships, and Jim Cornette was convinced that, you know, they just had like a bunch of belts that in a drawer in a desk somewhere, because there were belts sometimes that no one had seen for God knows how long, and they would have like a Night of Champions. Every single match was a championship title match. And it was 6 matches, and that was a lot for fans to take in, the idea of 6. So you knew it was a special event. And yet now looking at this, like how we are in 2019, the fact that this card is 6 matches, and someone's going to look at it and go, man, that's a small card. Am I getting my money's worth? You know, it kind of puts into perspective how it used to be compared to what it is now.
Well, I mean, it's a thing of quantity versus quality. If the NWA can put on 6 quality pay-per-view worthy matches for $19.95 pre-sale, $24.95 day of, then man, I think that they've given everybody their money's worth.
Right.
Absolutely. See, and you're right. You know, because of you know, my experience being a wrestling fan all these years. You know, I remember most big cards were never more than 6 or 7 matches deep on a given night. And that was about a 2.5-hour show, which, you know, for anybody to be entertained by wrestling is perfect.
Right.
For a long, you know, for a long style pay-per-view show, 2.5 to 3 hours is just perfect. And with the 6 matches, I suspect it'll probably be about a 2.5-hour show. Which I think is wonderful.
Now, you know,
bringing it back down to be even more fan friendly, yeah. Which is one of the great things that NWA is doing. Everything is geared and made not so much to you know, show you what we can do, but everything is shown for us. Everything is fan friendly and fan accessible. And that's what I'm really digging about the NWA. Even with their little hiccup, with this, I think they're doing a tremendous job.
Now, what was the average time, if you look back, 2.5 hours, 6 matches, what was the average time, the length of a match you could think of back then, that to be able to do 2.5 hours with 6 matches?
A preliminary with a winner. A preliminary goes the time distance. A one fall 30 minute. A maybe another one fall 30 or 2 out of 3 45. And then your semi main and main, however that went. And usually it was the semi main went 2 out of 3 falls 45 minutes. The main event went 2 out of 3 falls or one fall to a finish 60 minutes. And they just seemed to work it where, you know, it just fell around that nice 2.5 hour mark.
Okay. So there wasn't like a lot of breaks, right? I mean, I know wrestling events used to have like, kind of like an intermission kind of thing, like halfway into the show.
And we had a 15-minute intermission.
Yeah. And if anybody's wondering, what do you do as an intermission for a wrestling event? If you go to indie events, you know all about intermissions because they do them as well. Back in New York and down here in Florida, we had intermissions. And that was a time to either, I can't speak for the territories, but at least for the indies, that was a chance to go meet some of the wrestlers, buy some merchandise, get some pictures. And I know for the territories, part of the thing was people would start waiting in line to get tickets for the next show. Jim Cornette pointed out many times how back in the Memphis days, you know, they would announce the ticket sales for next week's show after the first match, and you'd have people waiting in line to the point that they'd miss the entire second match, waiting in line to get tickets to go to the show next week, where they could wait in line again and miss one or two matches next week because they want to get tickets for the following week.
And that was always announced right at intermission. Tickets for next week's event are on sale in the box office right now. You know, go get the good seats before they're gone. And in that 15 minutes, people would get a cold drink or, you know, maybe a snack. And those so disposed to do so would, walk from their seats to the box office right in the front of the Coliseum and, purchase their tickets. There's always somebody when they made the announcement, they opened up the booth and there was always somebody manning the booth to sell those tickets. I know it's very analog, but it worked well.
Yeah, everything now is just basically done online or live on at the front desk. So,
indeed.
Well, at least at the same time, you know, the reason why it's selling at the front desk is because there's still tickets available. Back in the day, I mean, tickets would be sold out. You know, that's why they would do it. They would never do it like I don't know. Did you guys have like I don't know what you want to call it, a collective package, kind of like, you know, when people are buying season tickets for a football team. Like, could you go to the box office and be like, you know, hey, I want to reserve tickets for the next 3 months or something, or did they limit that because they want to give everyone a chance? That's why they always did it every week. A week ahead, you could buy tickets.
You did that through the wrestling office. You didn't do that at the box office. If you wanted to establish and have seats held for you so you could buy them week after week, you called the wrestling office and they would put those tickets on will call for you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Like I said, very analog. You know, you made a phone call, the tickets went from the office to the box office, and in a little envelope, they have a will call envelope with your name. Say, I'm here to pick up so-and-so. Pay for them, you're on your way.
So wait, so the box office wasn't a territory wrestling employee, is what you're saying, right? They actually were an employee of, say, like the Coliseum or something?
Now that's a good question. I never saw either the girl or the guy that would work the box office in the wrestling office when I would go and visit every now and then to pick up tickets. It was Paul Bosch and the lady that worked for him. And sometimes she would be up front, but she'd be doing other stuff.
All right. Well, definitely giving a blast in the past for that. I enjoy those kind of things. It makes me think back a little bit. I only started watching wrestling in 98, and my first ever wrestling event was SummerSlam 02. But even that little bit makes me think. Because I also remember, you know, non-wrestling, side note, when you get into the card, everybody, you know, non-wrestling side note, I remember similar stuff when it came to, my dad got us tickets one time to an arena football game. I went to the Ringling Brothers Circus a couple of times when they went down. We went to one of those Disney on Ice things. I can't remember exactly what it was. I was a kid. Stuff like that. And I remember dealing with the box office. You know, my dad dealing with the box office. But I remember that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
Well, we... Hang on a second. Sorry, had to clear my throat. Got a nice glass of wine here to hopefully help fix that. So, looking at this card... I'm looking at this card and it feels like a subtle card in a way. And here's what I mean by that. It feels like a calm card. I think because we've been watching NWA and Power so much, it feels like a similar card to what we've seen on there. But you know it's going to be screaming difference once we watch Into the Fire. And I think they need to be a little careful. And the reason why I'm saying that, Dave, is and I used to think the same for Impact, but being the fact that the Impact Zone was a bigger place, you know, they had less to worry, I think, just because of how it was. But this card is going to be done at the same location as NWA Power. It's going to be done the day before the NWA Power taping, so they're probably only going to change a couple of things. They're probably going to remove the power signs and everything and replace them with Into the Fire. You know, the audience will be the exact same in terms of size and location. So I'm wondering if some people are going to look at it and treat it like it's a, I don't want to use the, okay, basically like a glorified NWA Power, if you will, which is kind of what it's going to be. Because I mean, if you think about it, everybody, a pay-per-view is supposed to be a glorified show compared to the weekly show, because it's supposed to be a highlight special event version. But the difference is this time is it's at the same location. It's got the same wrestlers and same amount of audience. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I wonder what kind of stuff they're going to be doing to change it up. You know, like I know I've been saying for a while, I wish they would use like theme music, at least for the champions and if there was a title match. So we don't know if they're actually going to do music for the pay-per-view. What do you think they're going to do to try to make it look different compared to normal NWA Power, Dave?
Well, I agree with you that they'll probably change a little signage. I agree they'll change some signage around. They may change the lighting a little bit. Other than that, who knows? They may have some special sets built. Really, other than that, I think, you know, they've got their crowd where they want them. So it's just here again, this is going to be interesting to find out what they're going to do, with the tools that they have available to them. And this is a first really good test for the NWA to see, how they can handle a pay-per-view card in an environment that is really unusual for a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
A studio audience. So, you know, plus they're going to be breaking in a new announcer.
Yeah.
That might. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff riding on this one. I anticipate that this is going to be a tremendous card. Should be a great show. So, you know, it's got the right amount of matches. They've got all the important folks, everybody that's come along so far in the 9 weeks of programming. You know, it's all set up and ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking it up right now, everybody, because, like, a comparison, the last pay-per-view the NWA did was the Crockett Cup back in April. And now the Crockett Cup included a tournament, so, I mean, yeah, you got matches in that, of course. 7 matches total for that. But then you tack in other matches that were non-tournament matches and, or including the qualifier match they did, which was Isaacs and Latimer, the wild card, defeating the boys, and everybody else in the Battle Royal to qualify, and go figure, now they're the tag team champions. Well, former. But total, there was 11 matches on that card. And while I can't find attendance numbers for the event, I mean, we're talking about it was the Cabarrus Arena in Concord, and it has a capacity of 5,500 people. There had to have been a couple of thousand people at that event. So it's so we know they had the capabilities to do an arena kind of show, whether it's the Crockett Cup or if it's the 70th anniversary show. And we know they could get the attendance, you know. If they want to set it to 1,500 or 2,000 or something, I believe they could easily pull it off. It's just going to be interesting to say the least, you know, that they're trying this out, doing an arena of a studio location for the pay-per-view. That threw me off at first when they did it, but I got to...
Well, you know...
Sorry.
This kind of seems more of Billy Corgan's austerity program. You know how he's been very austere with the NWA over the last few years? Mm-hmm. Very slowly introducing, you know, this. You know, he had his world champion. Now we have tag team champions. Then slowly he brought out the national champion. They did the 70th anniversary and the Crockett Cup. And, you know, they've been progressing along very steadily, but very slowly. So I see all of this as a continuation of Corgan's program to just, you know, let's ease into this thing. We don't have to come out all big and flashy. Everybody else is big and flashy. Everybody else has lights and booms and Titantrons and 50 speaker stereo music in the arena, and you know, let's just keep this more personal. And I like it. I really do. For me, I have no problem. I know you guys look at it and it's sort of an abrupt, whoa, you know, this is different, but that's the whole idea. It's supposed to be different.
Right. No, and I understand that and I agree with that. you know, I've gotten used to the layout now. Hang on. Clearing my throat again, everybody. Sorry. You know, you know, I've gotten used to the layout for how, like, NWA Power is, and I've been really enjoying it. I mean, I think I've been enjoying it more so in some ways than Dave, just because I definitely enjoy these hokey throwback 1980s commercials that they add in. You know, so I've been really getting into those. But I'm just thinking to myself, you know, one thing I got an idea, Dave, is I don't know if I'm curious if Billy Corgan's going to want to do an anniversary show every year. He didn't this year because that would have been back in October, but he did the 70th anniversary show in October 2018. So it's probably okay. It was just probably because it was the 70th. We probably won't see the anniversary show again until the 78th. Why did I say 78th? Oh, my God. 75th.
There you go.
Yeah, the 75th anniversary show, we'll probably see it again. The Crockett Cup, I got a feeling, is going to be back every year, I'm hoping. And that's probably going to be treated as their version of a WrestleMania in that, you know, the history and the significance of the Crockett Cup, and it's going to be the bigger arena. So... You know, we look at, like, the layout of WWE pay-per-views, for example. It's WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam are the big four, and then everything else is second tier, and then NXT is technically third tier. And they've had a couple other events to be treated as the third tier. And I think that's what they're going to do, is that the Crockett Cup, maybe they'll make one other pay-per-view, who knows. And they'll treat those two as the coup de grace, and those will be the bigger arena stuff. And then for the time being, any other pay-per-views will be done in studio until they feel comfortable enough to feel like, okay, why don't we change it up and keep the studio for Power, but then do pay-per-views. So, like you said, slowly weaning into it.
Exactly.
So, I think one of those would probably be the New Year's Clash. They got 1,150 people at the New Year's Clash they did back in January up in Clarksville, Tennessee. And that would be smart for them because, I mean, if you think about it, the Crockett Cup was held in April. If they push the Crockett Cup to, say, May, then they'd have enough space between New Year's Clash and the Crockett Cup, I think, to justify treating them as the big two. But now I'm just digressing. Ready to actually get into the card, Dave?
Let's rock and roll.
So, oh yeah, we'll be talking about them. First match of the card is going to be, at least the way that the layout we see right now, is the question mark versus Trevor Murdoch. Other than the fact that their names almost rhyme, these guys haven't really had, I can't think of too much of a background together. I don't even know if they've had a match together. So it's definitely going to be a interesting to say, I guess, if this is going to be like their first clash together in NWA. And this is, I think this is just going to be a basic exhibition match in terms of getting into it. But it probably could lead into some kind of storyline. And who knows, maybe the spiritual advisor will somehow come out because she's the one who's been promoting the question mark for a while. So what do you think?
I find it a little, it's an unusual match, cause you're right. I, you know, nowhere in the last, several weeks of TV have Trevor Murdoch and the question mark interacted. So, an interesting and unusual match to open your show. Trevor Murdoch, who's over. I mean, he's really over right now. Mm-hmm. It's the question mark. I don't know how over he is yet, but I guess he's getting there.
Oh, come on. Every time Aaron Stevens tries to get the cheers from the fans, he gets boos. And then question mark does it, too, with the Mongrovian spike, and he gets the cheers.
That's a comedy gimmick. I mean, is he over? Well, are people buying T-shirts? And, you know, is he going to move the needle any? I don't – I mean, not – I don't think he's going to move anything yet. I mean, right now, this show is pretty much four people. The world title match and the, shit. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the funny thing, you know, I just point out question mark and Aaron Stevens doing that whole shtick. Think about this, though. That's how Damian Sandow, Aaron Stevens, got over when he was working with The Miz. People were booing The Miz, and then, you know, Damian Sandow tried to, he's like, oh, come on, he put his, and the fans got cheered. And Damian Sandow ended up, it was slowly weaning into him becoming one of the top guys that the fans supported in the WWE. So, the same could happen with the question mark. I'm not saying that means he's going to get so over he's going to be going for the world title anytime soon, but it could definitely work. You know, it's just trying out the same thing that Damian Sandow did.
Well, I've already mentioned this. I have strong suspicions about this question mark guy, and I've shared them with you, and maybe one other person that was interested enough to know. If there's going to be a breakout of the question mark to something more, this is the time to do it. It's pay per view time. So even though he's in the opening match of the pay-per-view, it's a hell of a good time to show your stuff.
Yeah.
And so far all we've seen is the whatever the hell that spike is called, Mongrovian spike.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Mongrovian spike and the karate.
Karate.
And over and over and over and over again. So if we have the spiritual advisor, That would be a nice, you know, little schmoz. I think it's an interesting matchup, putting Trevor Murdoch against that guy, because Trevor Murdoch's a big old boy.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to have any trouble whatsoever handling him.
Yeah. You think we're going to see Murdoch try to unmask the question mark at some point?
Possibly. I would not. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
All right. Who do you? If you had to predict, who do you think is going to win that match?
I think that one's going to be a DQ.
For
and then Trevor, so there's going to be some kind of a schmoz with somebody in the question on the question mark side of the equation interfering, and Trevor Murdoch will win via disqualification.
Okay. Yeah, I got a feeling it could be something like, it's to me it's either question mark winning or Murdoch would win by DQ. So we just got to see how it's going to go. I'm like kind of like what you're saying. I kind of predict that that night, that match is going to be a turning point for the question mark. I just feel like it's going to take him to the next tier. I don't know if it means anything when it comes to Aaron Stevens or not, but we'll just because of what they got going on, but we'll figure it out and see. Next on the card is surprisingly the title's not going to be on the line, but it's going to be the NWA Women's World Champion Allison Kay teaming up with I guess you could say her new protege Ashley Vox to face off against Melina and then one of the other two power Latinas, which is Thunder Rosa or Marty Bell. So it's going to be a 2-on-2, and we just don't know if it's Thunder Rosa or Marty Bell yet that's going to be teaming with them. So how do you think about this match? There's going to be a lot of fuckery going on in my mind.
Oh yeah, I think the heels take this one. Melina and the Latin women crew. Yeah, I think they take it. I easily see that.
Yeah,
because they've been beating the hell out of the champ.
Yeah,
ganging up, beating the hell out of Allison Kay. So, I like you said, I see some fuckery here.
Yeah, I think the one thing that makes me a little hesitant is the way they built up Thunder Rosa coming in. You know, Thunder Rosa, you could easily, she was to become one of the dominating forces, and the way she came in, the way they built up everything, to me just screamed, okay, in the next 6 months at some point, she's going to win the women's championship. Now we got Melina in, and you can already see they're building Melina as the coup de grace in this stable of theirs. You know, Melina's the one watching over as Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell are doing the hard work and doing the heavy lifting. She's the one standing taller than the others. I mean, you know, you guys know what I mean when I say that, the way it's looking. And the fact that in this match, when they promoted the match, she is front line and center, huge on the poster in terms of how much space she's taking up, because Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell on the back, like over her shoulder. And, you know, they're definitely showing like, okay, Melina's the big one for this in this group. So I'm a little worried about how they're going to be doing it. Cause like I said, I predicted Thunder Rosa to get the belt. And now to have both these two, if it was a tag team, if it was just the two of them, you know, like a Randy Orton and Edge kind of deal, yeah, I wouldn't see it as a problem, because it's like, okay, two powerhouses working together as a tag team and just to destroy and annihilate, you know, in that case, two former world champions. But now we're looking at it. Same thing could be said, Thunder Rosa, women's champion down in Mexico, Melina, women's champion in WWE, but then you add Marty Bell, and they're treating, with Melina now, they're treating Thunder Rosa almost as an equal, and Marty Bell maybe a step ahead, you know, so I'm just curious how it's going to go between those two in the long run.
And the possibilities here are endless. This is the first big women's feud. And I don't think anything's going to be decided here. This is going to be an ongoing deal.
Right.
But this is an important enough match at this point in time in the angle, put it on pay-per-view and let these women fight it out to see where it goes next.
How do you think the heels are going to take it, Power Latinas?
I think the Power Latinas are going to take this one. The heels are on for this one.
Okay. No, I definitely agree with that. And it's going to be a pinfall or submission on Ashley Vox, most likely, unless they just want to destroy Allison Kay. We come next to the next, the last match that's not for any gold or anything, and that's going to be Eli Drake versus Ken Anderson. Everybody knows I was a huge TNA wrestling fan. I enjoyed both these guys immensely. I've always been a fan of Ken Anderson back to the Ken Kennedy days. Eli Drake, I thought he did a great job. I was going to TNA and Impact shows when he was King of the Mountain champion. That belt sucked, but when he was champion, and when he was the Global World Champion. And these guys have been doing a great job in the NWA so far. And I think this is probably going to be one of the best matches of the night, just because I know how good both these guys are.
Hey, what you have in those guys are here's a couple of established veterans lining up, working their way up the card, if you will, to use a little of the old parlance, to position themselves for titles, whether it be the national title or the world title.
Yeah.
And should be a good match.
Yeah. To me, this has got to be like a unofficial number one contenders match for the national title. You know, Eli Drake, when James Storm was national champion, he kept pushing and pushing, saying like, hey, you know, when you go for the 10 pounds, just think, remember your boy, remember me. And then Ken Anderson getting involved like that. To me, it just feels like whoever wins this match should be, in my opinion, the next contender for the national championship. And looking at the endlessness, because we can get into, you know, the next three matches are the championship matches. And, you know, I'm looking at some of these matches that could happen between these five guys. Two from this match and then the triple threat for the national title. And some of these matches will be amazing. So, before we streamline right into the national title match, who's your prediction for the Eli Drake and Anderson match?
Eli Drake.
Yeah, I got to agree. I just got a feeling that it's going to be Eli Drake.
I want to see how big a heel he becomes. If he's willing to go full just like heel.
Yeah.
I really want to see what kind of heel, because I think he has potential to be a tremendous heel.
Yeah. You got the same mindset like me, like he's been tweening, if you will, towards the heel thing from the babyface in the early shows, and now this will be when he solidifies himself.
I'd really like to see that. So yeah, I think it's gonna be Eli Drake, possibly with a bit of fuckery.
Yeah, kind of something I'm noticing already. Maybe it'll change with the title matches, but I'm definitely noticing we got a bit of a concept thinking it's going to go to the heels the whole time so far for these first three matches, which is trademark NWA, if you think about it. You know, I know Paul Heyman, he was on the Stone Cold podcast, and Stone Cold asked him the differences between NWA and WWF back in the day, and then talking about ECW, and he always said, you know, WWF was a babyface territory, the rest of the NWA was a heel territory. It was always the babyface chasing for the belt, but the heels were always getting over. You look back in history, and the world championship belonged to heels more than it ever belonged to the babyfaces. You know, you always remember more of Ric Flair's and less of Tommy Rich. You remember guys like Dusty Rhodes being a world champion, but, you know, he held it. His combined reign in all days, three reigns, I think it was a little over 100 days. And then you look to other guys like Jack Briscoe or Terry Funk in some cases. So definitely kind of paying the homage back to how the NWA was, which was always a heel territory kind of basis, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So now we'll get into triple threat match for the NWA National Championship. Colt Boom Boom Cabana defending the National Championship against Aaron Stevens and Ricky Starks. I'm very much looking forward to this. You know, I said before, like, Eli Drake and Ken Anderson would possibly be, like, kind of like match of the night in some, or a contender for that. I think this one, if this is not going to be the match of the night, this will probably be my favorite match of the night, just because Ricky Starks, the way he's been building up ever since when he first got onto Power, and, you know, people have been a fan of Damian Sandow from back in the day, you know, so now being Aaron Stevens, really been liking it. Heel, babyface, doesn't matter. And then Colt Cabana with some of the shticks he does. This is going to be a really exciting match. And I personally think, Dave, while it's not going to take as long as a World's Championship match, I think I'm about to make a bit of a pedestal, and I hope I don't over-exaggerate, but if we were to compare, like, WrestleMania 3, which was Hogan-Andre, I got a feeling this national title match will be the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Randy Savage kind of match, in that it will eclipse the main event in terms of star rating, performance, and overall skill.
I'll reserve that for afterwards. I'll definitely, you know, I anticipate a great match.
Yeah.
You know, I'd seen something Joe Numbers said maybe a day or two ago. I was flipping through my Twitter, and he mentioned that why in the world wouldn't a company, as soon as they started, sign Aaron Stevens to a contract to get him on their TV? He's that good. And we haven't, you know, and here's the thing. We haven't even come close to seeing what this guy's capable of. He's a veteran. He's good at what he does. He can talk. He does a great, you know, that actor shtick thing he's doing. He does every bit of it just right. So, if there's a forum to give this guy a spotlight, this is the match that should give him a spotlight. Let's see what he can do. Cause we've seen him do his shtick and, you know, wearing the nude, trunks and, messing around with the question mark. I want to see Aaron Stevens get in there since he's got a title shot. I'd like to see him get in there and do something with it.
Yeah.
I think it's time. He's been fiddling around for several weeks now. And, you know, it's time to kick it into the next gear.
No, I completely agree with you on that. Like I said, I'm building up a pedestal in this match, but I got the feeling that Colt Cabana's reign as national champion is going to be a short one. You know, I mean, the guy is already a two-time champion. Ever since they revived the championship, they went from Willie Mack to Colt Cabana to James Storm and back to Colt Cabana. And I don't know how long Colt's going to be involved in the NWA. I don't know if there's any problem with Ring of Honor with it. I mean, so far they've cleared him, so I mean, we know that. But I don't know if it's only for so long since they broke off their relationship with Ring of Honor. You know, like they had to put the tag team titles on the wild card because they couldn't use Villain Enterprises in NWA when they broke off the relationship. And not to say the wild card's a bad tag team; those guys are a great heel tag team. You know, these guys, you know, they've done a good job so far, which we're going to get into them next. But
Jack.
But this, you know, the fact that that happened, you know, so I don't know how long Colt Cabana could be around for the NWA. If it's maybe a limited deal, if, you know, maybe he got approved for like, you know, 3 months worth of TV, if you, the argument's sake, I don't know. I personally think that Aaron Stevens is going to be winning this match. I think he's going to become the champion. I think, I don't want to say Aaron Stevens needs the belt, but I feel like he kind of does. I feel like, you know, whether we're seeing how he's been doing in NWA, whether we remember his past as Damian Sandow, we know how great the guy can be. I feel like the belt would help solidify that to everybody that's guessing. Like, if maybe they're not so sure, is he really that great? I just feel like the national title would help build him up again to remind people, hey, he is that great, and take a look at this. Ricky Starks is, you know, he's a crown jewel. Pun intended, everybody. Ricky Starks, I think, is one of the crown jewels of the NWA. As long as they don't have a junior heavyweight title, and it doesn't look like they're going to be bringing it back anytime soon, he's going to be moving about to the other belts. Now, side note, the NWA, Billy Corgan, they would not do what Vince has done. It's not like, okay, we got junior heavyweights, the only belt they can go for is the junior heavyweight title. No. Maybe they won't be allowed to go for the world championship, the world heavyweight championship, just to maintain the proper standard, but they'll build the junior heavyweight title into a pedestal, just like New Japan has done with the IWGP junior heavyweight title. But, you know, the national championship, the tag team championship, they wouldn't limit the junior heavyweights to not going to those, of course. They're not going to do what Vince has done. But Ricky, I don't see him getting the belt just yet, because they've only been doing TV for 9 weeks. And Ricky was seeing him as being one of their future gems in the NWA, and he's going to be one of their he's that future. You know, when you see some of the guys and you go, okay, this is who they're going to be. Sorry, molding their future around. Ricky Starks is one of those guys for the NWA. He's going to be one of their top guys in the next year or two, and I have no doubts about that. So I feel it's like it's too soon to put the belt on him, especially when the fact that they've only got so many belts, that if they're going to be building him up to be one of their coup de grace, to put him on a belt right now would just be too fast. So yeah. I don't see him getting the national title yet.
And here's the thing. Right now, as it stands, pretty much all of the title defenses are on television until the NWA can kind of spread themselves out a little bit more.
Yeah.
right there. Right now, they're pretty well contained. So everything is done on television. So, you know, as I look at this match, the only thing I can say as far as a prediction goes is I really don't even have a prediction per se. I just don't want to see Ricky Starks become the national champion right now.
Right.
It, for me, it can go either way. I think Aaron Stevens probably should come out on top in this one. If Colt retains, I understand that. I get it. I get, because you know, this is a program that can probably continue on for a while because you got the schmoz between Ricky Stark and Aaron Stevens, the beginning of an angle between Cabana and Stevens. So there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah.
And a lot of ways to go. I just don't think that the young man is quite there yet. He's and I'll use an old term that they used to use back in the day. He's one of the young lions of the NWA right now.
Yeah.
He's an up and comer. If they keep it smart, they're not going to put a belt on an up and comer. They're going to keep it on, or either keep it on or put it on somebody more established, because that just makes good sense.
Right.
And I hope that's what they do. Either way, a retention for Cabana or to see Aaron Stevens come out on top. I think either outcome has equal value. I just don't want to see Ricky Stark there yet.
Right.
I don't think he's ready quite yet.
No, I'm with you on that. You know, if they had more belts, if they still had the junior heavyweight title, if they still had the North American title, to see him go for the national title, I could see that happening. And I mentioned these other belts because they're stepping stones, everybody. Remember back to... Jesus, I really got to clear my throat a lot. Remember back to Kurt Angle. Got into the WWF late 1999, built himself up. Look at what happened in 2000. Very beginning of 2000, you know, he becomes a European and Intercontinental champion. Goes to the point that he's defending at WrestleMania 2000, defending both the belts. Then we go to the summer, wins the King of the Ring. Then a couple months later, wins the WWF championship. There's benchmarks is what's going on. Some people, there's like Roman Reigns, where they try to push him immediately to the world championship as a babyface, and it just doesn't work. The fans didn't want to get behind him. You look at Kurt Angle, he was a heel, basically. He was the good guy heel. But they had benchmarks for him. Okay, we're going to give you the European title, the Intercontinental title. We're going to give you King of the Ring. Then we're going to give you the world championship. If they had more belts to do that with Ricky Starks, they could do that right now. But right now, with only as far as singles, the national and the world's heavyweight championship, it would actually hurt Ricky Starks to do it too soon. You got to find the right time, and it'll probably be another 3 to 6 months before we see him with gold. He could get the tag team title, sure, and that there's nothing wrong with that, because that wouldn't hurt him if he built the tag team and started going around, as long as they could maintain him as being able to branch off and be a singles wrestler while still being a tag team wrestler, you know?
I got you. I do.
So, we now come to the tag team match for the return match for the NWA World's Tag Team Championship. The Rock and Roll Express, Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton, defending the titles against the former tag team champions, the Wild Cards. Personal comment, Dave, and I'll let you take over. Well, let you. I mean, you can take over. You could just kick my ass anytime. I know the Shakespeare thing was a knock, and I know you weren't a fan of it. But I some people probably definitely weren't. I just thought it was hokey and funny. Although wrong persons to use it. I just feel like after everything they've done, the Dawsons should be in this match. Not that they have to win. But I feel like they should be in the match as well, rather than just a return match, you know?
Oh, I suspect they'll show up. I truly do. I suspect the Dawsons will show up.
All right. Well, you want to take over your predictions and everything for this match?
I just got one thing to say about this match. Boomer power. You got me? Go rock and roll. This is my sentimental favorite match of the night right here.
Okay.
The Rock and Roll Express are defending the NWA World Tag Team titles. And I think it's tremendous. I think it's just tremendous. Boomer power. Go Rock and Roll.
Okay, Boomer.
Whatever, you know. And here's the thing. When you kids say that shit, and I got to tell everybody a secret here. I want everybody to listen very closely to me right now.
What's up, Boomer?
Whenever you call us Boomer, we laugh at you a lot. We laugh and laugh and laugh because here's the thing. Boomer's not an insult. It's actually a compliment. I'm very complimented if somebody calls me a boomer. You know, my parents were heroes. And I'm a baby boomer because of when I was born to the parents I was born to. So whenever I hear that boomer shit, whenever any of us do, we just get a chuckle. We laugh at you. I know you don't think we do, but we do. We do it very quietly. And just like the Rock and Roll Express are going to be laughing all the way to retaining the NWA World Tag Team Championship on the Into the Fire pay-per-view. By God. Boomer power.
So, okay. So you feel the Rock and Roll are going to retain the titles?
I certainly do. I hope so anyway, man. I'd like to see this go on for a while. I know everybody probably thinks, oh, well, this is just kind of a novelty, you know, nod to the past, you know, we got to respect our elders kind of bullshit. Hell no. Hell no. Those old motherfuckers can still get it done. Let them get it done.
Yeah.
Boomer power.
Yeah. Me personally, I'm expecting them to retain. The last thing I want to see, honestly, is these guys lose. I'm never a big fan of, you know, sometimes if it could be a long storyline, you know, like we saw with, say, Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. And yes, I'm using a WWE reference again, everybody. I got to use references that I know you guys will probably understand. To have these guys win the belts and then just lose them. If there was a long storyline involved, that these guys had a long storyline before, and then they win the belts, and then they lose them again, and they go back to chasing for them again, that could work. But the only storyline for this is, you know, the Rock and Roll Express were able to get a tag team title shot. And they went, one more chance, one more time, let's see if we could pull it off and become 9-time tag team champions. They go and do it, and now they have the return match. I just can't, it just would not be good in my mind to have them just lose the belts immediately, or at the very least, losing them to the same tag team. You know, if they had to be transitional champions to lose them back to somebody else, kind of like, you know, Iron Sheik winning and becoming the world champion from Backlund only to lose it to Hogan, it's a change, you know. I don't even know, like, I got to look back to, I think, Tommy Rich when he won the championship? Maybe he won and lost it to the same. But I just feel like that's just not always the best. If they can have the Rock and Roll Express be tag team champions for a month's worth of tapings or so, that can justify and go from there. You know, now I know I'm getting too much into the webbing, but.
No, what I'm seeing is pretty clear. Rock and Roll versus the Dawsons. Mm. That's your next program right there. Oh, that's going to be the next big tag team program right there. I don't know how long it'll last, but that's the next thing. You know, I think that would be a tremendous tag team program to see those two teams fighting it out for a while. The old guys against the big, you know, imposing younger boys from North Carolina. I like that. That just... Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. So I think that's something that we're going to be seeing in the future. At least I hope so.
Okay.
So, I mean, from this, great things can grow. I just, you know, Rock and Roll Express retain the belts and go on and have a great program with the Dawsons. I'd love to see that. I really would.
Okay, I wasn't thinking that too much. I could see it. The only thing I worry about is that it'll turn into like a squash match when they have that match. But overall, I think it'll be good.
You don't squash the Rock and Roll Express. You can beat the shit out of them.
But here's the problem. That's what the Dawsons have been doing. Except for that that no DQ match they had against Eddie Kingston and Homicide. It's been squash match after squash match. So I mean, now granted, I'm not saying that Robert Gibson is, you know, Jordan Kingsley. Far from it. But it kind of goes with the trend, especially the idea of these guys squashing and squashing and squashing tag teams. It would have to be a semi-squash when they go off and be like, okay, we could take on these old people and, you know, knock out these boomers and all that shit. You know, so. And I know the Rock and Roll will try to give him a run for the money, but I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, Kofi Kingston could have given Brock Lesnar a run for the money, but it just didn't fit. Brock Lesnar is a powerhouse that could destroy anybody. Hence, we have a 10-second championship match or something like that.
We just laugh and laugh and laugh.
So I guess we're both under agreement it's going to be the Rock and Roll retaining.
I agree 100%.
All right. And now we come to the final match, the main event. Best 2 out of 3 falls match for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Nick Aldis defending the championship against the Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm. 2 out of 3's special guest referees match. the first fall of the night, Brian Hebner, handpicked by James Storm to be the referee for that. The second fall, picked by Nick Aldis, will be none other than Tim Storm. And then if they go to a third fall, they're going to flip a coin. And whatever way the coin goes, that's who's going to be the referee. The fact that they added that stipulation, Dave, tells me they're going to go to 3 falls. Because it probably would have been good to them keep it quiet like that.
That very thought just went through my mind. When you said that, it was like, oh, well, this is going to 3 falls.
Yeah.
And you said, yeah, this is going to, I said, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get everything, all but the moving parts of this match are going to be used. You know, the coin toss for the third fall. You know what, I mean, because here's what they're doing. They're just sort of laying out the big details right now. And then when the match comes up, that's when they fill in the blanks. That's where they take big details and then begin to fill in the smaller ones. So, I mean, I think we're going to see all kinds of good stuff here. And let me mention this. I don't know if you've seen it yet. They posted the match from January of this year between Nick Aldis and James Storm.
Yeah.
On the NWA side. I watched that match today. There was some chicanery with Billy Corgan at the end of that match. He all of a sudden near the end of the match turned it into a no DQ, so there'll be no count out finish. You know, he wants a winner in the middle of the ring. Very strange. Very strange. So interesting things are going on. Lot there again. This is what I like about this program and the NWA Power Wrestling. They always have lots of little moving parts within the story. You know, which way will it go? Is Corgan more involved or less involved? Are we going to see him interject himself? Is this James Storm's time to become the NWA World Champion with this new company, or does Nick Aldis retain? I'm not going to give a prediction here. I want to leave this one all the hell alone and see how it plays out. Because like I said, there's going to be lots of moving parts to this match. I'm going to tell you what I'd like to see, but this is not a prediction. I'd like to see James Storm win just because either way it goes, even with a James Storm victory and him becoming the world champion, the future is very bright for him, for him and Nick Aldis, and whoever else is coming up underneath. So, yeah, I'd like to see James Storm win, but if either way it happens, I'm perfectly cool with it. I just want to see this whole thing play out because I think it's going to be a lot of fun and really great to watch. To see some really good, you know, old-fashioned, you know, angle-style pro wrestling between two old veterans. I can't say old, between two really good veterans.
Yeah. I could agree with that. You know, I mean, I go back to, you know, I've watched TNA since 2004, and I remember America's Most Wanted. I remember everything they were doing as tag team champions. I remember back then it was thought that Chris Harris was going to be the one, and it turned into becoming James Storm being the one. And, you know, he had a short stint as TNA world champion. Always felt he should have had more. As being a world champion, the guy's always been up there. And, you know, seeing a lot of stuff going on with him. Personally speaking, I know Dave's going to hold judgment. Me, I personally, if I had to pick, I'm thinking it's going to be Nick Aldis retaining. Just because I feel like it's the first pay-per-view since doing Power. Keep in mind, it's their third pay-per-view of the year, I think. Because they did... New Year's Clash was a pay-per-view. The Crockett Cup was a pay-per-view, you know, in terms of Fight TV, everybody, you know. So this is their third pay-per-view of the year, fourth in the last year or so, just over when you add the anniversary show. You know, at least the fourth pay-per-view since Billy Corgan's taken over. But, you know, people have been seeing that as... It's basically been seen as since NWA Power, you know. What was it said? Same thing for AEW, you know. Full Gear was their first pay-per-view since being able to be on TV, you know. I mean, you know, All In is seen as the spiritual first ever show, but then you had Double or Nothing, that's the actual first show of AEW. You have Fyter Fest, you have All Out, but then you had the TV show, and Full Gear became the first one for that, once having a weekly show. And that's what Into the Fire is. Into the Fire's got the same... system as such because of that. So I just feel like it'd be too soon, if that's the case, to take the belt off of Nick Aldis, because even though you could watch Nick Aldis on Ring of Honor and you could watch him on the pay-per-views, this is the NWA Power is the first time that if you're trying to actually regularly see the NWA World's Champion or any of these wrestlers for the NWA, and to change the title. I mean, hey, let's be fair. Look at what they've done with all the other ones, you know. They had, you know, they put the belt on Allison Kay during the Crockett Cup, and that was because Jazz had to vacate it. And she's been the champion. They took the national title off of James Storm, put it on Colt Cabana since being on Power. They took the tag team titles off the Wild Card and put them on the Rock and Roll Express. Somebody's going to look at the Wild Card and think these guys were tag team champions only for, like, 8 weeks. But in truth, they held them for a little bit longer on top of that, but no one really got to see that, you know. So it's definitely interesting, to say the least. So I mean, everything I'm saying could be, you know, just thrown out the window because we've seen it with the other stuff. But with the World's Championship, I feel like it's always been on the next pedestal. So that's why I'm thinking that more, that they're not going to. But James Storm's going to be a world champion, I think, at this point. I'm not speaking like James has got an ego, but... And it's far from it. I'll say myself, James is at a point he should have at least one solid, bona fide world heavyweight championship run. More than that, the guy should be like a 5-time world champion in my mind at this point in time. You know, I mean, well, especially looking at his pedestal from the past.
He still certainly could be.
Yeah,
he's not an old man, so he's got plenty of time.
Right.
So I anticipate, I don't know if it's going to be the match of the night, but I anticipate a good match. Lots of twists and, you know, just a match a wrestling fan can sink their teeth into. Something that I really hope, and believe is going to just go down smooth. So there you go. Gonna be a hell of a good show.
Ah, definitely will be. And it's going to be a good breath of fresh air. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to it even more because I get to see the first aftermath of it before anybody else, because I'm going to the NWA Power tapings the very next day.
So, yes, you are.
Now, I was not able to get out of work for Monday. So the annoying thing is, you know, someone said, okay, so you wanted to go to the matches, the show the next day. Hey, if I could have gotten out of work Monday, I probably would have. But it would have just been easier for me because as soon as the first day of NWA Power Taping's over, depending on how things go, I'm estimating I'm going to be there an extra hour. And I'm just thinking because I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to meet some of the wrestlers, get them to sign the belt, stuff like that. You know, I'm trying to be conservative on that mindset. As soon as that hour's done, I'm racing home. I got to drive all the way home from Atlanta. And if my math is correct, my parents' house is closer than my house from Atlanta. It's only an hour difference, but hey, it makes sense. I'm going to be going there. I'm going to pass out there, be able to get a good sleep, hopefully. And after that long drive, I should. And then I'll be able to wake up and go to work. So literally it's going to be, my day is going to be NWA Power, driving home, sleeping, work. That's what I'm going to be dealing with. So I'm not going to have any time to do anything else. I mean, if I'm driving, I'll probably be talking with the guys or something, and possibly something like that.
Have a hell of a good time.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's sad that I'm not going to be able to see Jim Cornette. I was planning on bringing one of my Back to the Territories DVDs, hoping he could sign it. But, you know, hey, I always like Bad News Barrett, personally speaking. You know, so Stu Bennett becoming part of the commentary team, I think, is pretty good. And it's going to be exciting, to say the least. So I'm possibly thinking about driving up Friday night and getting a hotel. And then I'm going to bring my computer and everything with me. So that way, as weird as it's going to sound, I'll be in a hotel room in Atlanta, not far from GPB Studios, where the pay-per-view is going to be held, watching it on my computer instead of being there. The place is sold out. I couldn't break in there if I wanted to try. And right. And then we'll be are we wanting to do a post-show recap, Dave? Will you be you'll be watching Into the Fire, right?
I'm thinking. Probably be at my daughter's, so that may no.
Okay.
Because I was planning on watching it on their big old 70-inch TV.
Okay. All right, then.
And don't forget, like Sky Genie just suggested, when you get the hotel, rent a hooker.
Oh, yeah. One of them fine women from the fine city of Atlanta.
I'm sure Atlanta's filled with fine, fine hookers.
Fucking hate that city, man. I hate it, man. I really do. I've never had a good experience in my life in that city.
I've never been anywhere except there. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it ain't worth it. So, I mean, it's worth it for me to go to NWA, but that's it. So, but, yeah. We'll see how it goes. But,
exactly.
You know.
We will.
Either, you know, who knows, maybe we'll do, if we're going to do a recap or not, if we do it then or later or something, we'll figure all that stuff out in the coming days. I mean, it sounds like we got an idea of what's going to be happening. But at the very least, you know, I'm still contemplating if I want to do that for the hotel room, which to me would be a smart move. That way I can actually get a decent sleep, fall into a proper schedule.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need to sleep into the day so I can wake up, meeting up with a friend of mine for dinner, and then I'm going to into the fire, and then driving home. So like the amount of time it's going to take everybody for me to get home, I can't take any stops. I mean, I can stop and get gasoline and get an energy drink to drive home, but I can't stop and rest. I will be late for work if I do that, or I'm going to have I'm not going to get a lot of sleep at the house. I won't have time to. So I got to jettison home.
Yeah, well, dude, sounds like you're going to be humping it for the weekend, so.
Oh, I definitely will be.
Be safe. And we look forward to hearing about your experiences.
I'm looking forward to giving my experiences. Before anybody asks, I will when I go to the show, I'm not going to be giving any spoilers. We're going to be watching. We'll be reviewing NWA Power as it happens, you know, on TV, on YouTube TV, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to be giving any spoilers. The only thing is, you know, the first show, the first Power after, you know, the tapings, I'll probably give some reviews on some things just because, you know, we're talking about right then and there. And I could talk about the atmosphere and what it felt like. I could do all that. You know, that's fine.
Exactly.
So, all right. I think that's the long and short of it, Dave.
I think that's about it. We have scattered, smothered, and covered the NWA Into the Fire pay-per-view, I believe, quite thoroughly. So, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else, sir?
Not that I can think of, no. I think we've squeezed the sponge out as much as possible until the pay-per-view.
Well, you know, I like you and quite experienced at squeezing things out. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Thank you for listening live. And everybody who listens on the download or on the stream, thank you as well. We appreciate your patronage here at the WNC NWA Into the Fire pay-per-view preview. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
Definitely.